Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome everyone to the first episode of Delving into Islam Thoughts. This is your host, Wael, and it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a privilege that I'm able to talk to you about the religion of Islam and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing me to share my knowledge with you. Thank you so much for listening, participating, and sending in all your questions and suggestions. Now, speaking of which, if you have any questions or suggestions, please email me at delvingintoislam@gmail.com. Again, delvingintoislam@gmail.com, and I will get back to you as soon as possible, inshallah. Also, if you want to keep up with the release dates, the episode titles ahead of time, or whenever I go on a break, you can follow me on Instagram at Delving Into Islam Podcast. Again, Delving Into Islam Podcast for all the upcoming announcements. Now, Delving Into Islam Thoughts is literally, you know, whenever I have a random thought about the religion of Islam that I think that it's beneficial to share with you, or, you know, whenever I have a conversation with someone and then, again, it sparks some sort of like a thought about our religion or something that is connected to our religion, and I think that it's beneficial to share with you, then that's basically the purpose of this segment of the podcast. And today's thought, since we are in the middle of the month of Ramadan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us, especially from those who, you know, are witnessing Ramadan for the first time, the new reverts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of you and make it easy on you and give you all the benefits and, you know, give you all the rewards and give us all the rewards of, you know, fasting and praying and reading Quran during this blessed month. And that brings me to the question that some of our Muslim brothers and sisters ask, and, you know, even some non-Muslims ask that question, which is, what's the big deal about Ramadan? Why is it such a big deal? Like, you know, when you hear people making the dua, Allahumma balighna Ramadan, oh Allah, make us witness the month of Ramadan. Why? You mean you abstain from eating and drinking and, you know, being intimate with your spouse? It seems to me like it's a time of suffering, not a time of celebration. Why do people celebrate that month, right? It makes sense. It's a very valid question for those who don't know. So I wanted to, and I know that I talked about this before, but I want to talk about it again from different perspective and give different and new hadith by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, different situations. Now, first of all, anything that is significant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by default significant to us or for us. Again, anything that is significant for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be by default significant for the believers. If you are a believer, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then by default, automatically, anything, like, for example, Fridays. Friday is the best day of the week in the sight of Allah. Then by default, it should be. For, you know, it doesn't matter your worldly reasons. Just because it's the best day in the sight of Allah, it should be the best day for you as a believer. Again, this is the attitude of a believer. Is it mandatory for Friday to be your best day? No, it's not. But it's very odd to call yourself a believer and knowing that Allah loves Fridays and you just don't care about it. You know, you love Mondays or you love Tuesday. I know nobody loves Mondays, but anyway, loves Tuesdays or whatever. Because you go and you see your buddies on that day. It's just, again, it's not haram. There's nothing haram about it. But the believer should elevate and, you know, should appreciate anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, loves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers, right? We should prefer whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers. And the month of Ramadan is one of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, had or have a special status for. The month of Ramadan, it is the best month on the side of Allah. There's no doubt about that. The Prophet ﷺ tells us that even in this month, there's the best night in the entire year, which is the night of Qadr, right? The best night. And that night specifically is the night where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Qur'an. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Qur'an in the night of Qadr in Ramadan. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, and that shows you that the significance of that month in the sight of Allah, that Allah chose that month, the month of Ramadan, to reveal the Quran for the first time to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. you know, in the chapter of Baqarah, verse number 185. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Allah is saying the month of Ramadan is the month where I revealed the Quran in, هدى للناس, to guide people. Because Quran was sent to all of mankind, not just to the Arabs, despite what some people might say. It was meant for all of mankind, and that's why all of mankind will be held accountable for not following Islam if they were exposed to Islam. But anyway, during the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed a few things. Like, if we continue the verse, you know, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. If you witness the month, meaning if you live through the month, you have to fast it. This is a direct command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, there's another command in the same chapter, chapter of Baqarah, verse number 183. So it's like two verses before this. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah is saying, oh, you believe. So again, this is believers now. Fasting has been written upon you like it was written upon previous nations. Why? Why do we fast on Ramadan? Allah answers it in this verse. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Because if you fast and you properly fast, you may attain righteousness and conscious, being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Basically fearing Allah in a healthy way. Because if you fear Allah, if you have conscious of Allah, you're going to be the perfect person that you could be. The best version of yourself is when you are always having Allah in your conscious, when you, as you know that Allah is watching you all the time, you know that Allah is hearing you all the time, you know Allah is there. And when you always put Allah first in your calculations and any decision making you make or any action you take, all of these things, when Allah comes first, you become the best version of yourself. So Allah's saying, to help you achieve that, I gave you the month of Ramadan that you should fast. And fasting in the month of Ramadan makes you reach that taqwa, that righteousness and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very simple. Yes, does it also make us feel what poor people feel, or how poor people feel to those who are hungry all the time? Yes. But the main purpose of the month of Ramadan is to worship Allah the right way, fast the right way, so we become better people. Because, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit, you are, if nothing changes in you during the month of Ramadan, there's something wrong. Let me repeat. If you go into Ramadan, and Ramadan is done, is over and finished, and you're the same person, religiously speaking, then you've done something wrong. Then you have not done what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. Ramadan must enhance us even in one little area. Like, I want to give you an example. Let's say that you get angry a lot. You have no patience. You have anger problems. Now, Ramadan comes in and part of fasting is to control your anger. The Prophet ﷺ told us, part of our fasting is to control your anger. So if you get angry in Ramadan, then you're not fasting the right way. Then you've done nothing. There's something wrong. Now, if you, when Ramadan comes, there's a situation that you're in and it gets you angry and you'll be like, oh Allah, I am fasting. Allahumma inni sa'im. This is what the Prophet ﷺ told us to say. Say, Allahumma inni sa'im. Oh Allah, I'm fasting. Meaning what? Oh Allah, gives me patience. And you pressure yourself not to react in an angry way. Then guess what? If you keep doing this every day, you will be a changed human being after Ramadan is over. Because this is, again, if you practice this for 30 days, trust me, it's going to be easier for you to practice it for the rest of the year. And measure on that all the bad things that we do, all the bad habits that we have, right? Like, for example, if you do not read Quran at all, let's say you're someone who never touches the Quran, who barely reads the Quran, and then in Ramadan, every day you dedicate like what? 10, 15 minutes to read Quran. Just 15 minutes. Every single day in Ramadan. When Ramadan is over, it's going to be a lot easier for you to pick up the Quran and read every day for 15 minutes. And that's what we call a change. A tiny bit of a change. Just a little bit. Do you understand? Just a tiny bit of a change. So in my opinion, pick bad thing that you do, some bad habit, bad trait that you have, and focus on it during the month of Ramadan. Just one little thing. I'm not asking you to be, you know, to do like a 180. No, 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 no. Do not change yourself 180 because it's going to be overwhelming. Just pick one thing at a time. Pick one bad habit, something that you usually do outside of Ramadan, and in the month of Ramadan, stop doing it. Stop doing it. And see what happens. You'll be amazed by the results. And that's the whole purpose of Ramadan. Ramadan is like a training camp for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the perfect conditions. You use those conditions to achieve a betterness in yourself. You become a better person. Just like I said, in one tiny aspect of yourself, of your personality, of your character that you want to enhance, focus on it in Ramadan. And that's it. And again, you could work on multiple things. I'm not saying, you know what I mean? Like, you can work on multiple things as long as you can handle it, as long as it's not overwhelming. Pick one thing if it's too overwhelming and focus. Start with one thing. You know what I mean? Start with one thing and then better yourself. Enhance it. Stop doing whatever that you're doing outside of Ramadan. Just stop doing it and doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Ramadan. Now, to show you how significant Ramadan is, Talha ibn Ubaidullah, one of the most famous companions, told us a story, is narrating a story, and the Prophet ﷺ, it's basically a hadith, because the Prophet ﷺ has a part to play in that story, so which makes it automatically a hadith, because the Prophet ﷺ, when he says something, it is a hadith. His speech is a hadith. His statement is a hadith. So he says what? This is Talha now telling us the story, then we're going to get to the hadith within that story. Talha saying there were two men who embraced Islam during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they became Muslims, so they became from the companions. One of those men was more religious than the other. He did everything that the other one didn't do. So let's call person A was more religious than person B. Companion A and companion B. Companion A went to war. He fought for the sake of Allah. Companion B was praying five times a day, was fasting. He was doing his thing, but he was not anywhere near the companion A, the one who is really religious. So companion A went to a battle and he died as a martyr. Companion B lived a year after, then he died. So again, companion A died in a battlefield. He died as a martyr. Companion B, who is less religious, stayed a whole year after companion A and then died a normal death. Now Talha one time had a dream, and he went to tell the dream to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the dream is, and by the way, the companions used to have dreams that are could be signs from Allah, like the calling for adhan, people who call for prayers. The call for prayers came to two of the companions, as a matter of fact, and it was a sign that, or a message that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the companions. And again, you have to understand, the companions are the best of mankind after the prophets and messengers. They are very special. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. They are pleased with Allah and Allah is pleased with them. Or vice versa. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. Radiyallahu anhum, Allah is pleased with them. Wa radu an, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are very special. Again, they are the top of the line after the prophets and the messengers. So for him to have a dream, it is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing crazy about that, basically. That's very normal for a companion to have such a dream. So his dream was, him was standing at the gates of Jannah, at the gates of paradise, outside of paradise. And with him are the two men who embraced Islam, companion A and companion B. Companion A is the more religious. Companion B is the less religious. Then someone comes out of Jannah. So we're assuming it's, you know, an angel, you know, coming out of Jannah. And then calls for person B, companion B. the one who's less religious, calls him in, and he admits him in paradise, in Jannah. Then he comes out again and then calls for the martyr, companion A, the one who is more religious, was more religious, and he admits him in Jannah. Then he comes out a third time and he looks at Talha and says, what? Your time has not come yet. And the scholar said, it makes sense because he's not dead yet. So that's why he said, it's not your time yet. Meaning, because both of them died, right? Both companions, companion A and companion B, died. So it was their time. Companion B was taken to Jannah first, then companion A. But Talha was like, it's not yet, because you're not dead. You're not yet dead, so it's not your time yet. Then Talha, when he woke up, he started telling his dream to the rest of the companions. And they were wondering, wow, so companion B was called before companion A? How does that make any sense? Again, companion A was well known to be the most religious of the two. Again, he died as a martyr, but companion B died a normal death, you know? So they went to the Prophet ﷺ and they were again wondering, like, oh, Prophet of Allah, can you imagine Talha had this dream that companion B went to Jannah before companion A? Can you believe that? And the Prophet ﷺ, literally, look at the response of the Prophet ﷺ. It's amazing, wallah. He said, why is that so weird? مِنْ أَيِّ ذَلِكَ تَعْجَبُونَ The Prophet ﷺ said, why is that so weird to you? Why are you wondering about this? So they said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ O Prophet of Allah, هَذَا كَانُوا أَشَدُّ الرَّجِلَيْنِ اجْتِهَادًا The first one, companion A, was the better believer, was the better Muslim. Then he, ثُمَّ اسْتُشْهِد Then he died as a martyr. وَدَخَلَ هَذَا الْآخَرُ الْجَنَّةِ قَبْلَهُ And the other one, companion B, went to Jannah before him. How, O Prophet of Allah? How? Look at the response of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَلَيْسَ قَدْ مَكَثَ هَذَا بَعْدَهُ سَنَةً Didn't he live 1 year after his friend or the first one? So the Prophet is basically saying, didn't the second one, companion B, didn't he live 1 year extra after the death of the companion A? So they said, yes, O Prophet of Allah. Look at this. Then the Prophet said, didn't he witness Ramadan? وَأَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ فَصَامَ وَصَلَّى كَذَا وَكَذَا مِنْ سَجْدَةٍ فِي السُّنَّةِ Didn't he witness Ramadan after, 1 year after? Yes, O Prophet of Allah. Didn't he pray Qiyam with everybody during Ramadan? Yes, O Prophet of Allah. Didn't he fast like everybody during that month of Ramadan, the extra year that he had over the first companion? They said, yes, O Prophet of Allah. Then the Prophet said what? فَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا أَبْعَدُ مِمَّا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ Ya Allah. It's very difficult to fathom this phrase, but let me explain it. The Prophet said, when they said yes, he fasted. Yes, he was praying tahajjud and he was praying taraweeh and he was praying qiyam and he was praying the sunnah prayers, yes. Then the Prophet said, if that's the case, then the distance between them, the difference between them is like the distance between the earth and the heaven. Wait, what? Are you, the Prophet of Allah, are you saying that companion B is so much higher in rank than companion A, like the distance between the earth and the heaven? The Prophet ﷺ said yes. Why? Because of one Ramadan he witnessed over the other one. That was it. He outlived companion A by 1 year, and during that year, he witnessed Ramadan. Do you guys understand the significance of Ramadan now? Do you understand? He fasted Ramadan, did Qiyam, did Taraweeh, was reading Quran, was properly fasting the month of Ramadan while the other one was dead. So guess what? He got the rewards of Allah that the martyr didn't. I mean, they both went to Jannah, but do you see what Ramadan did to companion B, my dear brothers and sisters? For those who take Ramadan lightly, that's what Ramadan did. It's a beautiful hadith, by the way. The Prophet is simply saying, why are you wondering? Why is that a big deal? Didn't companion B live 1 year after companion A? Yes. Didn't he witness Ramadan? Yes. Didn't he fast, pray like everybody else in Ramadan? Yes. Then he's much higher than Companion A. Just because Companion A died earlier, not for any other reason, then the Prophet said he's much higher in rank, like the difference between the earth and the heavens. Ya Allah. Ramadan. Do not, and I mean do not, underestimate Ramadan, my dear brothers and sisters. Never underestimate Ramadan. Never underestimate worshiping Allah during the month of Ramadan. Never. These two companions, the perfect example of witnessing an extra. That's why now, let's go back to the beginning of the episode. When people say, Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, make us witness the month of Ramadan. Make us witness one more, oh Allah. Just one more. Make us witness the next one. Oh Allah, please, oh Allah. Why? Imagine if one Ramadan affected that companion and made his rank elevated that much. Like again, the Prophet explicitly says, like the distance between the earth and the heavens. That's the difference. Imagine if you witness multiple Ramadans and every Ramadan you fast the proper way. You worship Allah the proper way. Imagine that. Imagine your status on the day of judgment, when you before you go to Jannah. Imagine your status if you can witness as much Ramadan as you can. Subhanallah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also helps you during the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala significantly helps us during the month of Ramadan. How? We all know the beautiful hadith by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِذَا دَخَلَ رَمَضَانُ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِقَتْ أَبْوَابُ جُهَنَّمْ وَسُلْسِلَةُ الشَّيَاطِينَ The Prophet said, when Ramadan comes, all 8 gates of paradise will be opened. And all 7 gates of hellfire will be shut, will be closed. And the devils, or the shayateen, Satan and his followers basically, will be chained. We have 8 gates of heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens all of them during the month of Ramadan every year. Imagine this. And there's a reason why. Why would Allah do that? Because basically Allah is telling you that this is the month of forgiveness. I will forgive you so you can enter paradise. So basically Allah physically opens the gates of paradise and physically shuts the gates of hellfire and physically chains the shayateen. But what's the meaning of that? There is a meaning behind him physically actually doing that. Well, Allah is telling us through opening the gates of heaven, by the way, heaven or paradise has 8 gates. Through opening the 8 gates of Jannah, of paradise, Allah is telling you this is the month of forgiveness. You want to go there? Doors are wide open. All you have to do is just worship me and ask for forgiveness. That's it. Fast the right way. Worship me. Pray the right way. Read Quran. Remember me during the month of Ramadan. And the gates are literally wide open right now. And also the amount of mercy that Allah has. Because opening the gates of heaven or the gates of paradise or Jannah implies the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah saying, this is my Jannah. This is my paradise. Be a good worshiper. Be a good believer during the month of Ramadan. And it's yours. It's yours. You know, some brothers and sisters, they go and they, like literally during Taraweeh, they just go out, have fun, two genders mixing, you know, having a blast. And it's just another celebration, technically not a religious one, apparently. Go out, have fun, you know, go to this restaurant, you know, blasting music and go home in the middle of the night. Some people do that. But alhamdulillah, the majority of Muslims, and I see it with my own eyes when I go to Taraweeh every night. People that never step foot in the masjid outside of Ramadan, they're standing all, again, some masajid, they pray 8 rak'ahs, some pray 12, some pray even 24, some pray 20. It's sunnah, so it doesn't really matter how many, any even rak'ahs are considered to be taraweeh after Isha. If you do 4, if you do 6, it doesn't really matter. But my point is, they're staying there, majority of them staying there until the end. That shows you the significance of Ramadan. Yes, there is minority that go out, have fun. They don't care about Tarawiyah. They barely fast, right? It's not fasting anymore. But you also have the majority, which I see, wallahi, mashallah, every night. Young people, old people, little children even, you know, they have like their own babysitting kind of area, right? And it's beautiful. Wallahi, I love that spirit so much, so much. Everybody standing in prayers. Because they all want to get that reward. They all want that forgiveness. They want to be from those who, you know, Allah is telling them, looking upon them while they're praying, looking down while they're praying, and saying to them, the gates of heaven or the gates of Jannah are open for you, my servants, my slaves, my Muslims. It's a beautiful feeling that you can never feel outside of Ramadan. Now let's go to the second part of the hadith, which is Allah shuts and closes all seven gates of hellfire. And again, hellfire has seven gates. And it shows you, again, it physically happens. But why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that during the month of Ramadan, by the believers, sins are lessened. Believers commit way less sins. So the number of sins by believers, by Muslims, have decreased, or they always decrease during the month of Ramadan. Which means what? Their chances of entering hellfire is now less. So Allah is shutting that door. Well, that's out of the mercy of Allah. And again, another reason, it's because of Allah showing us His mercy during the month of Ramadan. Also, here's a beautiful hadith that ties into this hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single night in Ramadan, during the month of Ramadan, every single night, Allah chooses a group of Muslims, a group of believers. And basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses that group of Muslims from around the world and forbids hellfire to burn them on the Day of Judgment. Can you imagine? The hadith by the Prophet ﷺ, وَلِلَّهِ عُتَقَاءٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ وَذَلِكَ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ. Basically, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, every night in Ramadan, Allah exempts people from entering hellfire, forbids hellfire upon them. Imagine this. Imagine, my dear brothers and sisters, that we are from those people. We never have to worry about hellfire. Allah does that every night in Ramadan. Do you see the generosity of Allah during the month of Ramadan? Do you see that? Allah chooses a group of Muslims every night. And not from one location, not from one country. No, from around the world. And Allah basically exempts them from entering hellfire. For good. That's it. Now, that doesn't mean that they're evil Muslims who just happen to pray Tarawih or happen to fast that day or that night, right? And Allah chose them, but then they're going to become awful people afterwards. Allah doesn't choose based on that. You have to be sincere. And you have to be a good person afterwards. If you care about Allah, if you believe in this hadith, then you are most likely a great believer. If you stand in prayers and tarawih to gain Allah's mercy, to gain Allah's forgiveness, for Allah to exempt you from hellfire, then you are, trust me, on the right path. And keep it going. And those are the type of Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses every night. And there are a lot. Again, majority, alhamdulillah, of Muslims. Yes, we have bad seeds, but alhamdulillah, they are the minority. Even if that minority is vocal and they have more of a presence in the media or in social media, the majority, alhamdulillah, are true believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine Allah chooses a group of people every night and like you're exempt from entering hellfire. You shall never worry about hellfire. Now you'll never know. That's why you have to keep trying every night and every Ramadan. So every night of every Ramadan you have to keep trying to be from those who are exempt from hellfire. Because Allah won't tell us. You'll never know. Right? So the Ramadan comes, the Prophet ﷺ, the hadith is Futihat Abu Jannah, Ghulqat Abu Abu Jahannam, Wasulsilat Shayateen. And the devils or the Satan and his followers will be chained. Now, there's a big misconception about this, about this part of the hadith, which is a lot of people think that when Satan is chained, they're locked up, they disappear from existence. Until Ramadan is over, and then they come out. They're like basically in a dungeon somewhere. That is actually not true. The Prophet ﷺ never said that they get locked up. There is not a single insinuation. By the way, the Prophet ﷺ, there are multiple hadith about that. Like another hadith by the Prophet ﷺ, إِذَا كَانَ أَوَّلُ لَيْلَةٍ مِنْ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ صُفِّدَتُ الشَّيَاطِينِ وَمَرَضَتِ الْجِنِ. Again, the Prophet ﷺ said in Arabic, صُفِّدَت, meaning what? They were shackled and chained. The Prophet ﷺ never said they were locked away. There's a big misconception. And again, a big misconception that shayateen gets locked away. Well, how do you explain sinning? How do you explain sinning? Yes, our self makes us sin. Our self. And we're going to talk about that. But like our nafs, our self, we are by default. Our self by default wants us to commit sins. But because you commit sins, because there is a lesser... Now, here's the thing. Let me explain. There is an influence by shayateen in the month of Ramadan, but it's way less. That's why Allah shackles them. That basically says to us that their effect on the believers who fast Ramadan is way and significantly less. And if you're fasting enough, they will have zero effect on you as a believer. Again, shayateen are not locked up somewhere. They're not locked away. They're here. They're just chained from whispering and working on us. Especially the believers. Because you see non-Muslims do terrible things during the month of Ramadan. Come on. Palestine, anyone? Remember? Every Ramadan, they go in and they kill people. Now, they are evil people. They have evil nafs, evil self within themselves. But shaitan is out there helping them. So the shaitan are shackled against the believers, against the Muslims, against those who are fasting. Their effect is very insignificant to none. It's from insignificant to none. They have very, I'm talking about those who properly fast. Do not, you know, misunderstand that this is against all Muslims. No, no, no. Some Muslims do terrible things during the month of Ramadan. That means they're not properly fasting. That means the shayateen are not shackled against them. They can attack you in full force. And they have full power over you. The true believers who try their best to fast, those are not affected by shayateen because Allah shackles and chains the shayateen against them from, you know, attacking them, from whispering to them, from trying to control them. I hope that is clear. Again, the concept that shayateen don't exist in Ramadan period is just a false statement. There's no truth to it. They're shackled from trying to control the believers who fast during the month of Ramadan, who properly fast. And that's why you see a lot of people. And by the way, that explains another hadith by the Prophet ﷺ when someone came to him and he said, basically, oh Prophet of Allah, I want to get married. And I'm, in a way, sexually active. I want to get married. So the Prophet ﷺ literally made that statement. He said, يَا مَعْشَرُ الشَّبَابُ وَمَنَ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُ بِالْبَاءَ فَلْيَتَدَوَّجُ فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضٌ لِلْبَصْرِ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ. Basically, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, if you can get married, go get married. It's better than doing... lowering your gaze, because you're going to keep lowering your gaze eventually. If you really want to get married, something bad is going to happen. You're going to commit sins, right? Look at this now. The Prophet says, but if you can't get married for financial reasons, you can't find the right person, you know what I mean? Look, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ فَأَنَّهُ لَهُ وَجَاءَ. The Prophet says, if you cannot get married, fast. Because it is a protection for you. It's a veil for you. It protects you from the whisperings of shaitan. Do you see now the connection? If you fast even outside of Ramadan, it protects you from all these desires that shaitan keeps fueling. Shaitan keeps fueling your desires, keeps emphasizing them to you. That's how he works. So if you fast even outside of Ramadan, if you feel that you're going to commit a sin, fast. This is, by the way, a command by the Prophet ﷺ. Again, if you don't fast, you're not a sinner. But the Prophet ﷺ is giving you a good advice. Fast outside of Ramadan if you feel like you want to get married and you can't right now. Fast because, what happens is, shayateen becomes shackled against those who fast. Their effect against you become very weak, again, to none. SubhanAllah. Well, our religion is such a beautiful religion. It tells you the tiniest details about how to act and how to interact with shaitan, how to interact with yourself. Because like I always say, yourself, if you let it be, shaitan will control it easily. Because you have two enemies. Again, let me explain to you. Ramadan equips you to fight two enemies. Your worst two enemies, by the way. The first enemy, what we all know, is Satan and his followers, Shaitan. The second enemy, you want to know who's the second enemy? Pull out your phone, your smartphone, and open the camera. And, you know, flip the camera to the front camera, right? The selfie camera. Look at yourself. That's your worst enemy, wallahi. Or look at it in the mirror. That's your enemy right there. Why? Because we were created that we're easily persuaded to commit sins. We're easily persuaded to give in to our whims and desires, our temptations. So Shaitan knows this. So Shaitan starts to play now. He has an ally, which is with. Can you imagine? It's like, wallahi, I like to make this example. It's as if you have a spy inside of your body, an informant who works for Shaitan. Again, it's as if you have a spy who gives information to Shaitan about your weaknesses and your desires. Again, an informant who works for Shaitan. Shaitan knows what happens. Shaitan keeps studying you. Shaitan cannot read your mind, by the way, but he can watch you. Can watch you, and you cannot see them, right? And then when he realizes, okay, you're weak towards certain things, like weak towards money, or weak towards haram things like sexuality, weak towards, you know, smoking or doing drugs, you name it. There's a lot of, you know, sins out there that we as Muslims are weak against, and we have to protect ourselves, right? So Shaitan is watching this. Now what he does is he goes and he knows that yourself, your nafs, wants to do that. It's obvious from your actions. So he keeps whispering to that nafs for you to commit that act of or that sin. Now during the month of Ramadan, Shaitan is shackled. He doesn't have that big of an impact. Actually, for the most part, if you're a true believer, he doesn't have an impact at all on you. So now it's you and one enemy left. Your nafs. And without Shaitan, your nafs is so weak. It's so weak that you can control it and discipline it during the month of Ramadan and wallahi beyond the month of Ramadan. Like I said, it's a training camp. Allah gives you all the tools. Forgiveness, you have it. Mercy, you have it. Rewards, you have it. Shaitan, out of the picture. You have it. It's you and your nafs. Allah gives us every single Ramadan the perfect tools to fight our nafs, to discipline our nafs, to make it become an on our side. Again, Allah gives us the correct and the right tools every single Ramadan, the proper tools to discipline and train ourselves to make ourselves on our side or our sides. They become from our enemies to our allies now. And if you can control your nafs, yourself, to that degree during the month of Ramadan, and again, it's easy, Allah gave you all the right conditions, then outside of Ramadan for the rest of the year, it will be easier for you to control it. And then, a year later, Ramadan comes and Allah refreshes that. Allah renews that kind of relationship and that training. You're taming your nafs, yourself. What else do you want? That's why Ramadan is significant. You get to do things in Ramadan that you can never do outside of Ramadan. SubhanAllah. You can never do it outside of Ramadan. You cannot control your nafs to that degree outside of Ramadan. Because Shaitan is always there at full force. It's very difficult. Very difficult. And that's why I told you that if nothing changes in you for the better during the month of Ramadan, then there is definitely something wrong. If Allah took away, that means you were not fasting properly, because that means Shaitan was at full force with you. That's why you couldn't change. That's why you couldn't change. Because if you're fasting properly, Shaitan will have almost zero effect on you. And if he has a tiny bit of an effect, it's very easy to overcome. It's really that simple. Fasting the right way, fasting the proper, having the intention to fast the correct way will make you overcome your nafs, discipline your nafs, and control it. Because if you think about it, during the month of Ramadan, what happens? We control our intake when it comes to food, water, right? Which is, by the way, the basic human thing. Like, if you think about it, right? Your eating is your basic human need. Am I correct? You cannot survive without eating and drinking water, at least. Food and water are our most basic human desires. The halal ones, by the way, if they come from a halal place, if you eat halal food, they are halal. Right? So if Allah gives you the chance by making you abstain from eating and drinking and being intimate with your spouse, all halal things. Again, if you think about it, basic desires that are halal, again, in a halal context, right? If Allah is allowing you to control them by abstaining until at least, you know, sunset, right? You're abstain from dawn time to sunset. If you abstain from doing these things, imagine this. You can control your basic needs. That means you're incredibly powerful, my dear brothers and sisters. If you can control your body to not eat for almost all the entire day, literally the entire day, to not drink anything during the entire day, to not be intimate with your spouse at all during the month of Ramadan, throughout the day, before iftar, before, you know, sunset. You're controlling your basic needs and basic desires. If you can control your basic needs, trust me, you can control sinning. That becomes very easy for you. You know what I mean? Like I said, I made a video on Instagram, I believe, a couple days ago. And basically, I address this because a lot of people complain, oh, Ramadan is making us exhausted. We're physically weak. We're low on energy. We have zero energy. And we don't know how are we supposed to worship Allah when we can't even, you know, do our jobs, our work from 9 to 5 or any type of work, right? And basically, Ramadan, this is how it's supposed to be. Ramadan is supposed to disrupt your daily routine. That's what I said in the video. Ramadan is supposed to disrupt your daily paradigm. It's supposed to create a difference. You're supposed to feel different in Ramadan. Ramadan is supposed to make you abstain from certain things that you usually do not abstain from. Halal things. Like I said, food and water and being intimate with your spouse if you're married. Allah is allowing you to control these basic desires. So when you are faced with sins, when you are faced with temptations outside of Ramadan, you go, come on, give me a real challenge here. I controlled myself from eating, from drinking. Come on, give me a real challenge. It becomes a piece of cake for you. It becomes so simple for you. Allah is allowing you to do all of that. I know some people look at it like it's very exhausting. It's very tiring. I have no energy. Yeah, but you're supposed to feel that. That's the test. And that's what Allah is giving you. You have to control and fight through all of your exhaustion, all of those temptations. You fight through all of this and you're going to come out as victorious. You have a real change. If you can control basic needs, you can control sins and regular desires. Trust me. Wallahi. And add to all of that, the amount of forgiveness Allah gives you. So Allah is equipped. Think about it this way. I want you to think about this formula. During the month of Ramadan, Allah is preparing you, equipping you to become a solid fighter against shaitan and yourself. Giving you the right shield, the right weapons to fight shaitan outside of Ramadan. Because shaitan, again, he has very weak effect on you during the month of Ramadan if you are properly fasting. But Allah is making you a better person. Is enhancing you. You're evolving during the month of Ramadan by controlling your basic needs, by controlling your desires, by controlling your sins, by fighting your nafs, by making your nafs follow you. You do not follow your nafs. You do not follow your desires. No. I'm taming my nafs. I'm taming myself. Nafs in Arabic means self. You're taming yourself. You are disciplining yourself. Allah is giving you all this privilege. Then Allah rewards you for it. When you properly fast, when you properly pray Taraweeh or Qiyam, Allah rewards you for that. Can you imagine the blessings, the amount of blessings during the month of Ramadan? The Prophet said what? Look at this. مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانْ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. If you fast during the month of Ramadan with the right, you know, intentions to please Allah with the right sincerity, all of your past sins are forgiven. Okay. Then the Prophet said what? مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانِ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. Now if you stand for the sake of Allah, meaning to pray Taraweeh. Every single night of Ramadan, iman and wahtisab, and again, for the sake of Allah, not to go meet your buddies in the masjid, just to do it for the sake of Allah, to get Allah's rewards. غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. Okay, if you kind of, you know, didn't fast all, you know, all the days of Ramadan very properly, you slacked in a day or two, okay, you have a second chance. If you pray Taraweeh every single night, for the sake of Allah, Allah will forgive all of your past sins. You can't even do that either? Okay, there's a third chance. Look at this now. مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَبِي. If you pray Taraweeh during the Laylatul Qadr, which is what? When is Laylatul Qadr? Laylatul Qadr is in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and it's an odd night. We don't know which night. I know there's a big belief out there that it's the 27th. It's actually not. We do not know. The Prophet never explicitly told us. So it is, what the Prophet told us, it is that it's in the last 10 nights, and it's an odd night. Could be the night of the 21st, the night of the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th. We don't know. But it's in the last 10 nights, and it's an odd night. If you pray Taraweeh during that one night of Qadr, again, technically to play it safe, pray all of the last 10 nights Taraweeh. Make sure to pray them, and Allah will forgive all of your past sins. SubhanAllah. Fast Ramadan, all of Ramadan, you get all your sins are forgiven. Pray Taraweeh all of Ramadan, pray Qiyam, which is Taraweeh, all of Ramadan, all your sins are forgiven. Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr, just one night. Just one night in the last 10 nights. And like I said, it's an odd night. All your sins are forgiven. Like, what else do you want? What more could you ask for as a believer? Allah is, subhanAllah, giving you everything. All the chances to be forgiven, you know, to get massive amount of rewards, all of that. So for you to miss out on that, and by the way, there's a hadith by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he made dua against three types of people. So the Prophet was walking and climbing up the minbar, which is you know, the stage where he gives the sermon, the speech. And the first step, he said, "Ameen." Then he climbed the second step, and then he said, "Ameen." Then the third step, and he said, "Ameen." And then the companions, you know, asked, "O Prophet of Allah, what are you saying Ameen for?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ja'ani Ruh al-Qudus," or basically the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, in Islam, we call Gabriel or Jibril the Holy Spirit as well. He's just not divine in any way, shape, or form, like, you know, in the Trinity and all these things. So Angel Jibreel came to the Prophet ﷺ and made dua against three types of people. The first one is whoever, man adraka abawahu or ahaduhuma. If someone witnessed one of their parents while they were being alive and they did not enter Jannah, meaning what? You have to be a really good son or daughter, that if one of you, at least one of your parents is alive, they should be the reason for you to go to Jannah, from how well you treat them. Okay? So if that's not the case, if you do not go to Jannah because of them, or one of them at least, then khaba wa khasir, Angel Jibreel said, then may you lose in this life and in the hereafter. You lost, basically. You're a loser. The second one, man adraka Ramadan wa lam yughfar lahu. If you, here's the point that we're talking about. If you witnessed Ramadan and you were not from those who were forgiven, then you are a loser. And the last one, if someone says in front of you, mentions the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you do not say the word or the phrase sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you do not praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever you hear his name, then you are from the losers. Again, if you do it on purpose, then you are a loser. And the reason why the Prophet ﷺ mentions the Ramadan part is because Ramadan is literally, it's like Allah is giving away forgiveness for you to say no, to reject it and not be from those who are receiving that forgiveness. Then you definitely were not fasting. You were definitely not trying to please Allah in the slightest. And that's why you will be a loser in this life and in the hereafter. So another one, let me tell you another thing that shows the significance of Ramadan in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, and as we said before, hadith Qudsi is a hadith that is told to us by the Prophet ﷺ, but it's basically what Allah said. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet ﷺ something, and the Prophet ﷺ says, Allah said this and this and that, and it's not in the Quran. So the regular hadith is if the Prophet ﷺ has his own wordings, like we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the Prophet ﷺ with certain knowledge, and the Prophet ﷺ says it in his own words, right? That is regular hadith. Now, hadith Qudsi, meaning that the Prophet ﷺ is telling us a hadith, it's not in a Quran, it's not to be recited, but it's directly how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala worded it. And that's a type of a category of hadith. So there's a hadith Qudsi, meaning a hadith by the Prophet ﷺ, but it was as if exactly how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told it to the Prophet. Okay. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that's how you recite the hadith. Kullu amal ibn Adam lahu. Every deed the son of Adam or the child of Adam does, it's for them. Meaning what? If you pray, then the angels write down 10 good deeds. If you pay zakah, 10 good deeds. 10 times what you've done. We know that in Islam. Al-hasanatu bi'ashri amthaliha. Just like I said, one deed you do, Allah gives you 10 rewards for it. Ila sub'uma'ati daf. And certain deeds when you do, Allah gives you up to 700 rewards. Now, we don't know what are those exactly. We can talk about that later. But you have from 10, the minimum is 10, up to 700 rewards. So Allah's saying, everything you do, we have, it's like a ledger, right? Or it's like a reference book. Angels know this deed equals 10 rewards. This deed equals 20 rewards, up to 700 rewards. Okay? Then, look at this. إِلَّا الصِّيَامُ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Except for fasting. So when you fast, now talking about during the month of Ramadan, angels write down so-and-so is fasting or fasted. They don't write rewards because the rewards is up to Allah. It's so special that Allah is saying, it's mine and I shall reward you for on the day of judgment for fasting. Can you imagine? It's that significant, my dear brothers and sisters. Every deed you do, the angels know what's the reward. Except for fasting, angels do not know. It's that significant in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's like, فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. It is mine and I shall reward it on my own, in my own way, in of course in Allah's own divine way, on the day of judgment. Then Allah explains why. Gives us a little bit of a snippet why it's significant. إِنَّهُ تَرَكَ شَهْوَتَهُ وَطَعَامَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. The halal things that, you know, that the child of Adam used to do, like, again, being intimate with your spouse is halal. Eating halal food is halal. Drinking halal drinks is halal. So Allah's saying, the child of Adam left all of this for me, to please me. إِنَّهُ تَرَكَ شَهْوَتَهُ وَطَعَامَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. So Allah is saying, because of that, this is special. Another thing Allah is saying, لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَان. The one who's fasting will experience happiness in two places, or actually during two specific times. Again, the one who's fasting will experience happiness during two times. Farhatan inda fitrihi, one time when you're about to break your fast, which is we all feel happy, let's be honest. You've been hungry all day, and now the food is ready. And even if it's a little bit, well, Allah subhanAllah, don't you notice when you're fasting, any little bit of food is great in your eyes. SubhanAllah, it teaches us a lot to be humble when we're eating, right? To be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has given us and blessed us with. So Allah's saying, when you're about to break your fast, it's a happy moment for you. What's the second moment then? وَفَرْحَةً عِنْدَ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. And when he meets his Lord, talking about himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he meets me, that's his second happiness. Why? Because that reward that Allah did not reveal to the angels, on the day of judgment, when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will show you that reward, subhanAllah. Then at the end of the hadith, now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now telling us something that Allah revealed to him. So now it's not what Allah exactly said. This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us something that Allah informed him of or with. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says what? ولخلوف فم الصائم أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك. The Prophet is telling us the breath, the smell of the breath of the fasting person. Usually it's, you know, revolting. People don't, it's not pleasant, right? Because again, you have nothing in your stomach. Even though you brush your teeth, maybe like twice, three times a day while you're fasting, but still there is this breath coming out because your stomach is empty. That's a normal thing. So people might be, you know, not pleasant with the breath of a fasting person, but look at this. In the sight of Allah, that breath is better and more fragrant than the smell of musk. By the way, the smell of musk, we have it here. Actually, have some musk cologne. Basically, musk is known to be, in its original form, of course, not the ones we have here, is a fragrant from Jannah, from paradise. Musk is basically a smell from Jannah. It comes from paradise. And of course, the one we will, inshallah, hopefully, inshallah, when we go to paradise, the one we smell there, the musk that we will smell there is completely different from this worldly musk. It supposedly, like, out of this, technically out of this world, indeed, right? So it is such a great smell that in the sight of Allah, to Allah, your breath as a fasting believer is much better and more fragrant than the smell of musk in the sight of Allah. Can you imagine this? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Now, the Prophet ﷺ tells us another hadith. إِنَّ لِلصَّائِمِ عِنْدَ فِطْرِهِ دَعْوَةً لَا تُرَدْ. When you are about to, you know, break your fast, okay, you can make dua to Allah and Allah will accept your dua. Now, again, we have to follow the etiquettes of the dua. If you're making a dua for something that's not good for you, Allah will not accept it for your sake. You might not know it now, but because I don't want you to be like fasting and you're like sincerely fasting and then you make dua to Allah to get you this job, but then you don't get it. And you're like, well, how is that? Allah said that He's going to accept our duas when we're about to break our fast. But I didn't get that job. Well, wait a second. This job could have been evil for you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give it to you because it was going to basically ruin your life or was going to have a very negative effect on you. So Allah won't give you that. Then Allah will give you something better. You might not know it now, but you'll find out later. Subhanallah. Out of, again, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trusting in Allah. But again, my point is make as much dua as you can right before you break your fast. So when you hear the adhan of Maghrib, the sunset, right, this is actually a dua the Prophet used to say, and alhamdulillah, I say it every time. Allahumma laka sumtu wa ala rizqika aftartu, dhahaba al-dhama wa abtallati al-uruq wa thabuta al-ajr insha'Allah. This is a sunnah dua that the Prophet basically makes, a wording that the Prophet says. He says, Allahumma laka sumt. O Allah, for your sake, I am fasting, or I fasted for the day. Wa ala rizqika aftart. And from your blessings and provision, Allah gave us provision, right? That's how we buy food, through our work, through our jobs, through our businesses. But it's all coming from Allah. Our wealth all coming from Allah. So the Prophet is saying, from your wealth, from your provision, I am now breaking my fast with your provision, O Allah. Subhanallah. Look at the level of faith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dhahaba al-dhama, me being thirsty, is gone. وَبِتَلَّتُ الْعُرُوقِ, and my veins are wet now with water. Subhanallah, do you hear this? That like detailed description? وَثَبُتَ الْأَجْرِ, and may Allah confirm my reward for the day as a fasting believer. InshaAllah, by Allah's will. Beautiful, beautiful dua that you can make. I'm going to say it one more time. And again, you can look it up online. اللَّهُمَّ لَكَ صُمْتْ وَعَلَى رِزْقِكَ أَفْطَرْتْ ذَهَبَ الضَّمَأْ وَبِتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقِ وَثَبُتَ الْأَجْرِ إِنْشَاءَ. And you can make, after that, this is basically kind of a way to start, you know, or to break your fast, but then you can make any dua you want right before you eat. Right, you have to, make the dua before you eat. Oh Allah, I want wealth. Oh Allah, bless me and my family. Oh Allah, I want this. Oh Allah, make me, you know, accept for me and make me enter Jannah, me and my family. Any dua you can think of, wordly or in the hereafter or both. And you should do both, actually. The smart way is to do both. Then you break your fast. So that's a little tip for the fasting believer. Right before you break your fast, after you hear the Adhan of Maghrib, you should make any dua you want after this. And again, you don't have to make the sunnah dua. You should, though. It's a beautiful dua. And then ask Allah for anything you want. Subhanallah. Now, in closing, and I want to end with this. Ramadan is significant for a very simple reason. This is the month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps giving the believers rewards, forgiveness, mercy, you name it. You fast properly, which is not difficult at all, wallahi. You fast properly, you're going to get it. You're going to get all these rewards, and inshallah you'll be, and we all will be from those that Allah exempt from ever entering hellfire. You know, let me give you a worldly example. Let's say that you are working in a company, and let's say that this company offers you, let's say, $5,000 a month, okay? Then, during a specific month, 1 month of the year, they say, you know what? Instead of us paying you $5,000, we'll raise the salary. We're going to pay you for just this one month, right? We'll pay you for just this 1 month, $5 million. Again, you get paid $5,000 every month. But during this 1 month, we'll pay you $5 million only if you don't eat and drink while you're at work during working hours. And, you know, you work harder. That's it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? If you get that offer, be honest with me. What are you going to do? Oh, you're going to work hard. You're going to make sure that you don't eat, you don't drink. I don't want to see food. I'm not turning down $5 million. I'm not. I'm going to work harder than ever. I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to even do overtime. I'm going to work after hours. $5 million, are you kidding me? $5 million? I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that $5 million. And not just that. They will also remove all of your debt. Any like student loans you have, any mortgage you have, car payments, they say, we're going to give you $5 million and any debt you have, we will remove it. Oh, you're going to go crazy. You're going to think this is the best thing that ever happened in your, you know, in your existence, in your life. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll work as hard as it gets to get that money, to get those debts cleared. This is Ramadan, by the way. This is exactly what happens on Ramadan. Not with worldly stuff, with stuff from the hereafter. Allah's saying, oh, I give you regular rewards on regular days. Forget about that. And Ramadan, you name it, it goes all the way, like I said, past the 700 rewards. Past. Allah's saying, even the 700 is nothing. I have my own special reward for those who are fasting. Okay. And Allah says, you fast all of Ramadan, all of your evil sins, all of your past sins, forgiven. That means all of your loans, all of your mortgage, everything, all of your debts are cleaned in that worldly example. Allah's clearing all of your debt and increasing your rewards. What else do you want from Allah? What else? Now, we have the knowledge that we just, you know, that what we talked about of the significance of Ramadan and the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does in Ramadan. What are we going to do with this knowledge? We should benefit from this knowledge. That's the whole purpose of gaining knowledge, right? To benefit from it and utilize it to, again, benefit from it. Utilize the knowledge to benefit ourselves, benefit our family members, our friends and loved ones. So how to, you know, utilize this knowledge about the significance and what happens during the month of Ramadan? Well, let's start by the things that, you know, would break your fast. Things that you should not do during the month of Ramadan, okay? And then I'm going to move on to the things that you should do and the things that I personally do during the month of Ramadan. And it's very simple stuff. It's not complicated. Okay? But before we get into the things that you shouldn't do first, I want to let you know, imagine Ramadan as a 1 month of you pushing yourself to the limit. Again, imagine the month of Ramadan as 1 month where you push yourself to the limit to obtain the highest status among the believers. To be exempt from hellfire is a big deal, right? Isn't it worth it? To gain a massive amount of rewards, isn't that worth it? It is worth it. So push yourself. 1 month. 1 month. Do extra work. I'm not saying outside of Ramadan, don't do work at all. No, no, no. Do the normal stuff. But I'm saying during Ramadan, do extra work. Again, like I always say, you have to come out of Ramadan better and different. You have to. Otherwise, you've done nothing this Ramadan. So, with that being said, with the again, imagining Ramadan as a month where you push yourself like a crash course on being the best you could be when it comes to, you know, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Avoid the things that would break your fast. Like, don't get angry and blame it on fasting. I've seen people doing that. I've seen people getting angry and getting impatient and be like, well, it's because I'm fasting. I'm fasting. What do you want me to do? I'm fasting. Don't bother me while I'm fasting. What are you talking about? That's the whole purpose. That you would control yourself while you're fasting. And now you're blaming it on fasting? Yeah, it defeats the purpose. Some people, they think they're fasting, but all they're doing is abstaining from eating and drinking. And you do everything else haram. Yeah, it doesn't count. You're not fasting. And Allah's saying, all you're doing is you're suffering basically for no reason. You're not going to benefit from not eating and drinking because Allah doesn't count you as fasting. So you're not benefiting from any of this. So in the sight of Allah, you're doing nothing but suffering. You're preventing yourself from eating and drinking because you're not actually fasting. So don't do that. Don't be from those people. So that's number one. Also, stop watching TV and movies as if it's a normal day. And not that you should watch TV and movies on normal days, but I'm saying, especially in Ramadan, cut it off completely. Completely cut it off. You know, I know that in the Middle East, in ironically Muslim countries, this is the season of TV shows. The season of TV, can you guys imagine this? This is the season of watching TV during the month of Ramadan. People go and start filming TV shows. God, it's like, well, what, like 50, 60 TV, whatever, you name it. It's a lot of TV shows. And they plan on releasing them during the month of Ramadan. Do you see what's funny here? And I think it's really ironic. So the devils, the shayateen are shackled. But before they are shackled, before the month of Ramadan, as if they whisper to their, you know, helpers of the humans, the producers, the directors, the actors who are, you know, involved in these TV shows, hey, we need you to do our work. We're going to be shackled. Please come and do our work during the month of Ramadan. Distract people from praying. Distract people from reading the Quran, okay? Can we count on you? So you guys keep making glamorous a lot of TV shows, you know, and make people completely distracted. Make it the month of TV shows, not the month of Quran. Okay? Got it? Thumbs up? Thank you. Then they get shackled, and then their helpers, again, from the humans, they do that. They actually distract millions of people. Millions of people. They watch TV shows, and it becomes the talking. Oh, have you seen what happened on that? This is during the month of Ramadan. They increase actually the budget, the production budget of TV shows during the month of Ramadan. Wallahi, as if shaitan, they have a deal with the devil before the devil gets shackled. Like, I can't harm the believers, the shaitan is saying. I can't, my effect is very low, but I'm counting on you. You're going to do the work for me, okay? Ready? All right. and they do it. And it becomes the norm. In the Middle East now, the norm is every Muslim country, or it doesn't have to be Muslim, every Middle Eastern country, they release specific TV shows during the month of Ramadan. Dramas, different types of genres, you name it. Don't do that. Don't fall into the... I used to. Listen, I'll be honest. I used to watch this every year. I used to think it's part of Ramadan. Before, of course, I didn't know any better. Now I know. You push yourself during the month of Ramadan. It's only 30 days, sometimes 29 days. So please, just push yourself. Once it's over, go back to your normal self. Hopefully not. But again, what are you going to do? Better to gain rewards during the month of Ramadan than outside of the month of Ramadan. So don't do that. And again, the sins. Do not commit any sins that you are, again, aware of. And they're pretty obvious to you. Because at the end of the day, when you do that, then you break your fast. Then not eating and drinking is worth nothing. Okay. So that's regarding the things that we should not do. Lying, getting angry, road rage, getting impatient. All these things avoid during the month of Ramadan. Okay? That's the real test for us. Now, what you should do is there is a routine and there's something extra. So I'm going to start with the routine, inshallah. The routine is do not miss a prayer. Make it a dedication. Do not miss a prayer. Like we said, train yourself now to become a better Muslim and you have the perfect chance during the month of Ramadan. If you are a person who is not consistent with the 5 daily prayers, make it your goal. That's going to be your goal for this Ramadan, inshallah. Do not miss a prayer. Okay? Now, if you are someone who has been praying all the 5 daily prayers, here's what you could do. Pray the Nawafil prayers every single day of Ramadan. Again, if you're someone who, alhamdulillah, has been consistent, 5 daily prayers every single day, but you don't pray Nawafil, which is the sunnah prayers, the extra 12 rak'ahs, basically, do it during the month of Ramadan. Okay? Do something different. That's my point. You have to do something different and be consistent with it during the month of Ramadan. And I promise you, inshallah, it shall carry out after the month of Ramadan. Read Quran as much as you can, or at least listen to it. I know there's a lot of reverts who can't read Arabic, but you have these apps, so you can play Quran. And while you're playing the Quran, again, all these apps, they have that translation. In English, in all the languages, basically. So you can do that. Just 5-10 minutes a day. Again, just a small difference, my dear brothers and sisters. After you pray, after you fast, again, like I said, avoid all the things that would break your fast. Stop being on social media. Stop looking at people being fake and having fake lives online. Looking at, the opposite gender on social. Don't do that. Okay, comes the time of iftar. Now, during the day, while you're reading Quran, while you're praying, make a lot of dua. Like we said, the dua of the fasting believer is more likely to be accepted. Then, after you eat your iftar or you break your fast, go to tarawih. Go to the qiyam prayers. Again, tarawih is a name that was... It's again, another name for the Qiyam prayers. So the Qiyam prayers basically is any prayers that happens after Maghrib till Fajr time. And you do it without going to sleep. The Tahajjud is a different prayer. So Tahajjud is a prayers that you have to go to sleep and then wake up in the middle of the night to pray. So again, you have Qiyam prayers, which is you do not have to go to sleep. And Tahajjud prayers that you have to go to sleep and then wake up in the middle of the night. None of them, alhamdulillah, is mandatory because that would have been a problem for a lot of Muslims. They won't be able to do that. But it's, ya Allah, the rewards for Qiyam and Tahajjud are infinite. Wallahi. But again, I just want to keep focus here. Taraweeh is Qiyam prayers because you don't sleep before Taraweeh, right? You don't have to go to sleep and wake up. So Taraweeh is the Qiyam, not the Tahajjud, okay? So once you eat your iftar, you sit down. Usually, actually, all masajid, all the mosques, they do Taraweeh or Qiyam right after the Isha prayers. So go attend the Isha prayers at the mosque and pray the Qiyam or pray Taraweeh. Now, if you cannot do that for any reason, now, this is the ideal way to go to the masjid, attend it in congregation, in jama'ah, with all the Muslims there. You will feel different. Wallahi, I go there every night, alhamdulillah, and I cannot not go. There's one day that I got sick, really sick, like I was severely sick. I got like a virus for my daughter. And my body was like, I got the shivers. I could not, I had a body ache and I was sore everywhere and I couldn't go. And that one day, I really missed it. I felt something. Wallahi, I was so upset. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I prayed at home, by the way. Like I was able to push myself to pray at home. And that brings me to my second point. If you cannot go to the masjid, pray it at home. Remember the hadith. If you pray Qiyam, if you pray Taraweeh all of Ramadan, your past sins, inshallah, will be forgiven. So if you cannot go to the masjid for any reason, even if you're visiting someone for iftar or someone is coming over, you still can pray at home. Do not miss out on the Taraweeh prayers. Please, wallahi. It's going to make all the difference in the world. So, you come back from Taraweeh, go to sleep, try to wake up for Suhoor. Suhoor is or the Sahar. The Prophet called it a Sahar. And in modern times, we call it Suhoor. Doesn't matter, same thing, which is a meal that you eat before Fajr prayers, before you start fasting, because we fast from Fajr till sunset, right? So if you can wake up for Suhoor, go ahead. It's a beautiful sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, but if you cannot wake up for suhoor, then try to eat something, even a date. It doesn't have to be like a full-on meal. You don't want to do that. So eat like something, yogurt, date, something light, just to try to, again, to kind of observe the sunnah as much as you can. And again, do not miss out on any prayers. And that's it. Now, the extra thing that I want you to do, and it's pretty simple, wallahi, what I told you right now. Pray all the prayers, pray nawafil, read Quran as much as you can, make dua throughout the day. Allah will accept, inshallah, your dua if it's good for you, and go pray Taraweeh. If you cannot go to pray Taraweeh, pray it at home. So that is the things that you should do. Now, the extra things that you should do is pick one goal. Something that you need to improve in your personality as a Muslim, or something that you're lacking that you want to, you know, make up for or you want to fix, and focus on it. Laser focus, you know, focus on it. Like, I'm going to give you an example of myself. I decided this Ramadan, inshallah, that I will memorize the chapter of Qamar. I believe it's chapter 54, number 54. I knew it from before, but I completely forgot it. And I decided, inshallah, I'm going to take this chance during the month of Ramadan, and I'm going to memorize that chapter completely. Alhamdulillah, I'm actually more than halfway there. I memorized, I want to say 75%. And alhamdulillah, we're still not even in mid-Ramadan yet, which is great. That means I can maybe, if I can do that early on, like if I can, do by mid-Ramadan, if I can completely memorize the chapter of Qamar, Qamar means the moon. So the chapter of Qamar, inshallah, I'm going to also memorize the chapter of An-Najm, or the star, for the second half of Ramadan. Again, I'm trying my best here, but I do this every Ramadan, by the way, alhamdulillah. I tell myself I'm going to memorize I do it outside of Ramadan, but like in Ramadan, I was like, I'm going to focus on memorizing a new chapter and of course reviewing the rest of the chapters that I've already memorized so I don't forget them. But more importantly to me, I want to memorize a new chapter. That's literally my goal. I want to finish memorizing at least a chapter of Qamar, which alhamdulillah, like I said, I'm almost 75% there. Do something similar. Do something similar. Whether you were born as a Muslim, whether you are a revert, pick one thing that you want to enhance, like memorizing piece of the Quran, or doing something that you have not been doing and you know that you've been lacking. Pick something extra. Like we talked about the daily things that we have to do as Muslims in Ramadan. Now pick something extra and focus on it and say, oh Allah, inshallah, by the end of Ramadan, I'm going to do this. And do it. And wallahi, it will make the biggest difference. You can't even imagine. If you keep doing this consistently, again, you're trying to take advantage of the beautiful month of Ramadan to better yourself and increase your chances to, you know, to enter paradise or enter Jannah. And Allah's helping you. Allah's helping you. Allah's giving you support. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our fasting and our praying and praying Taraweeh. And I hope that, again, I was able to, you know, shed some light on the importance and the significance of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us and make us witness the next Ramadan, inshallah. Thank you so much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.